It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is February 15th, 2021, and oh boy, let me tell you, I'm sorry about Friday. I went to do the show, and I use Mix, this program, and there are two buttons. There's the broadcast button and the record button. And being a creature of habit, I went through and just clicked the broadcast button and did the whole show earlier in the day. And then whenever I was done and I clicked, I went to click stop recording, I saw that I had been broadcasting and there was no recording. So, sorry about that, but I hope you had a good Friday anyway. It is Monday, and, well, we'll go ahead and start the way we always start. World news. The world news. Of course, I would be remiss if I didn't at least address the fact that Texas is currently frozen, and so there are massive power outages. I have electricity right now, so hopefully I'll have electricity all for the rest of the day. But if I disappear, that's what happened. All right, let's see what we got going on. I've got a couple of stories for you. First up, Guinea declares Ebola epidemic after three deaths, with seven cases reported in the West African nation, including three deaths. Officials declare a new Ebola outbreak. The seven people fell ill with diarrhea, vomiting, and bleeding after attending a burial in Goiki. That's Golf, October, Uncle, Echo, Kilo, Echo. So, that's a name I don't think I've read before. Anyway, near the Liberian border, the infected patients have been isolated in treatment centers, the health ministry said on Sunday. Faced with the situation, and in accordance with international health regulations, the Guinean government declares an Ebola epidemic, the ministry said in a statement. Health Minister Remy Lama said officials were really concerned about the deaths, the first since a 2013 through 2016 pandemic, which began in Guinea, left 11,300 dead across West Africa. The vast majority of cases were in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. A second round of tests is being carried out to confirm that the latest Ebola diagnosis, and health workers are working to trace and isolate the contacts of the case, State Health Agency ANSS. That's Alpha November Sierra Sierra. And big shout out to everybody in COM. I wanted to be sure I didn't forget. You can chat live while the show's going on, where this show's Monday through Friday, every day at 1900 UTC. And the Dubious Goals Committee's afterwards at 1930 UTC every day, like Monday through Monday. I'm just Monday through Friday. But check it out. All you got to do is SSH over to SDF, type COM, C-O-M, hit enter, and then press G for go-to and type Anon Radio. When you do, you'll see a little banner that says Anon Radio. It'll say who's in the room, and you're good to go. Press H for help if you're new to the program. But yeah, it's a good time. Big shout-outs to X1 and Harry Leary and MetaQ for being in COM, making the show a lot more fun. Oops, I'm clicking in the wrong window. Also, it looks like we got a Ratsu and X1 and who else is in here? Jazzmaz, Bob Jonkman, and Froggy Me, looks like. So, alrighty, so yeah, so it's scary. There may be another Ebola outbreak moving on in Africa. So fingers crossed that it's just this isolated instance. And Tobe has joined. Welcome. Smaller protests in Myanmar as junta deploys more troops and armored vehicles. Protesters in Myanmar kept up demands on Monday for the release of ousted civilian leader Aung San Suu Kyi and an end to military rule despite the deployment of armored vehicles and more soldiers on the streets. Suu Kyi, detained since February 1st, coup against her elected government, had been expected to face a court in connection with charges of illegally importing six walkie-talkie radios, but a judge said her remand lasted until Wednesday, her lawyer, Kin Mong Zaw, said. The coup and arrest of Nobel Peace Prize winner Suu Kyi and hundreds of others have brought on the biggest protests in Myanmar in more than a decade, with hundreds of thousands denouncing the military's derailment of a tentative transition to democracy. This is a fight for our future, the future of our country, youth activist Esther Z. Na said at protest in the main city of Yangon. We don't want to live under a military dictatorship. We want to establish a real federal union where citizens, all ethnicities, are treated equally. What's a noisy day? I don't know. The unrest has revived memories of bloody outbreaks of opposition to almost half a century of direct army rule that ended in 2011 when the military began a process of withdrawing from civilian politics. So, definitely not looking good. Last I'd heard, they had cut off the internet from the citizens in Myanmar so that they could stop posting all the video of all the violence going on. Now, keep on going. If we head on south of there, New Zealand is in the news. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said on Monday that genomic sequencing of two recent COVID-19 cases that prompted a lockdown in Auckland, the country's largest city, showed they were the variant B117, a more transmissible variant first detected in the UK last year. We talked about that a little while ago. It's very scary because there's several variants busting out and they either infect more quickly or kill you better. And it's scary times. Welcome, AA1WW. I'm not sure how I would say that. Aw. It's the first time the variant's been found in New Zealand. So let's keep on rolling and jump over to Peru. Sometimes I try and read Calm, and Calm doesn't always make sense without context. So it's important if you're new into the world of things, if you're new to Calm, just sit back, relax, take it in. The words and phrases used are fun and entertaining. All right. I don't know what I'm talking about. I am so tired. I've been staying up too late watching anime. All right. Peruvian Foreign Minister Elizabeth Estet said on Sunday night that she resigned after acknowledging she received a dose of the coronavirus vaccine from China's Sinopharm outside of clinical trials and before the national immunization program began. Just a day earlier, President Francisco Sagasti said he accepted the resignation of Health Minister Pilar Mazzetti due to a scandal over former President Martin Vizcarra having also received an early vaccination. Vizcarra, who was ousted by Congress in November over corruption allegations, has said he did not jump the line to receive the vaccination, but rather that he got it as part of a trial. Local media questioned that explanation. Estet, who has held her post since November, said she was inoculated on January 22nd after receiving an offer from the Peruvian University Cayetano Heredia in charge of the trials to receive the Sinopharm Group Company Limited vaccine from a remnant lot of the tests. I'm aware of the serious mistake I made, which is why I decided not to receive the second dose, she said through Twitter. For the reasons stated, I have presented my letter of resignation to the president. Anyway, don't read Calm. You'll get confused without context. Because if you only read one line, my Calm window is very small because I was trying not to read Calm. And so now I just get a jumble of characters and it's very funny to me. Anyway, I'm sorry. We'll keep going. So yeah, the foreign minister in Peru jumped the line, got the first dose, was caught, and so now isn't going to take the second dose and is quitting the job. So we'll see how that will... We'll see. Hopefully the people in Peru are able to get vaccinated. And I wanted to mention an earthquake that happened in Japan. This isn't necessarily super duper news because of the... I don't think a lot of people got killed or anything. But it's still news because it's a big-ass earthquake. 7.3 magnitude quake. Saturday, a strong earthquake struck off the coast of Japan, injuring more than 100 people, and was an aftershock of the devastating 2011 quake that sparked the Fukushima nuclear meltdown, the nation's meteorological agency has said. Saturday night's earthquake had a 7.3 magnitude and struck off the coast of Fukushima Prefecture at a depth of 60 kilometers. It triggered widespread power outages, but there appeared to be no major damage and no tsunami warning was issued. It hit just weeks before the 10th anniversary of Japan's triple disaster on March 11th of 2011, when the strongest recorded earthquake in Japan's history triggered a tsunami that laid waste to entire towns and villages and caused a triple meltdown at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. More than 18,000 people died in the tsunami. Kenji Satake, a professor at the University of Tokyo's Earthquake Research Institute, told the Kyoto News Agency, "Because the 2011 quake was an enormous one with a magnitude of 9.0, it's not surprising to have an aftershock on this scale 10 years later. In Saturday's quake, more than 100 people were injured in Miyagi, Fukushima, and several other prefectures, according to a tally by Kyoto, as aftershocks reaching 4.7 magnitude continued in the hours after. Houses and offices in Tokyo, hundreds of kilometers away, also swayed and shook. Some 950,000 households were initially without power," government spokesman Katsunobu Kato told a briefing carrier on public broadcaster NHK. That's November Hotel Kilo. Oh boy. Yeah, so there was a big earthquake in Japan and it survived. There wasn't a huge impact. And I just always think it's amazing that they're so resilient. Okay. We gotta get through the news, the world news, because we want to play a song.
World news.
Oh, get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear the music. All right. One more story for you. Militants of the outlawed Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK, that's Papa Kilo Kilo, have executed 13 kidnapped Turks, including military and police personnel, in a cave in northern Iraq, Turkish officials said on Sunday, amid a military operation against the group. 48 PKK militants were killed during the military operation, while 3 Turkish soldiers were killed and 3 wounded, Defense Minister Hulusi Akar said in a statement. 12 of the kidnapped Turks had been shot in the head and one in the shoulder, he said. Turkey launched the military operation against the PKK in northern Iraq's Gara region, south of the Turkish border, on February 10th to secure its frontier and find citizens who'd been kidnapped previously, he said. The governor of Malatya province in southeast Turkey named 6 soldiers and 2 officers kidnapped in separate incidents in 2015 and 2016 as being among those killed in the cave. 3 of the dead have yet to be identified in autopsies. According to initial information given by 2 terrorists captured alive, our citizens were martyred at the start of the operation by the terrorists responsible for the cave, Akar said, as the operations control center near the Iraqi border. So, very sad indeed, but this is from Reuters, but it still definitely feels kind of like biased. It's because There was a battle between 2 armed groups, 2 military groups. So saying that one group executed another member of that group just seems kind of strange. Anyway, deep breaths. It's okay, because you know what we can do? We're going to play some music.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the
music. That's right. It is time to get the news over with. I am tired of being tired. I'm tired of being cold. It is cold here today. It was single digits cold, and I didn't like it. So anyway, this is a song from a band called The Faint that I like, and this is called Cars and Pass in Cold Blood.
It's a bad time for that.
To Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh yeah, that song has some noise at the end, and that's why I played it. It is currently 2 degrees C in my city. I can see snow on the windowsill, which is a trip. It's very bright outside because of all the snow. I don't like it. I don't like that I can't leave the house. All my windows are frozen shut. It sucks. I can't even open the windows. Whatever. It is 35 degrees, so it's above freezing. So don't worry, we're going to get through this. So, bam, bam, bam. Oh, yeah. It's time for some domestic news. Oh, yeah. The U.S. is on fire. All right, let's go. Nearly 3 million customers without power as Texas freezes. That's right, I'm one of the lucky ones with power. A rare deep freeze in Texas raised demand for power and forced the U.S. state's electric grid operator on Monday to impose rotating blackouts that left nearly 3 million customers without electricity. In the Austin area, the city has said that they either don't know how or they're unable to rotate the blackouts, so they just basically cut power off to like over half the city at 2 o'clock last night, and no one's had power since then. So everyone's putting their stuff from their fridge outside so it doesn't go bad, and just in general. Anyway, President Joe Biden declared an emergency on Monday, unlocking federal assistance to Texas, where temperatures on Monday ranged from 28 to minus 8 degrees Fahrenheit, which is minus 2 to minus 22 Celsius. Houston's George Bush Intercontinental Airport said it would remain closed until 1 p.m., which is 1900 GMT, while the city's hobby airport will cease operations until at least Tuesday due to the inclement weather. The freeze also took a toll on the energy industry in Texas, by far the country's largest crude producer, shutting oil refineries and forcing restrictions from natural gas pipelines. Apart from Texas, much of the U.S. was in the grip of a bone-chilling weather over the three-day weekend. The National Weather Service said an Arctic air mass has spread southwards well beyond areas accustomed to freezing weather, with winter storm listings posted for most of the Gulf region, Oklahoma, and Missouri. Yeah, and so it's very wild. We had our very first wind chill warning, which is like, you can get hypothermia if you don't wear a hat and gloves, so don't go outside. Alright, well, what else is going on? Well, we definitely have... We got a little bit of tech news for you. Google and Facebook are very close to deals with major Australian media to pay for news, a top government official said on Monday, as a tech giant scrambled to avoid landmark regulation. If you remember, Google and Facebook both were very defiant in saying that the countries couldn't exist or wouldn't be able to operate without their business. But showing their hand, what do you mean? You mean these companies actually need customers to survive? Yeah, they do. And so they're bowing to the government. Australian Treasurer Josh Frydenberg said talks with Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and Google CEO Sundar Pichai had made great progress in resolving a standoff between being closely watched around the world. Australia is poised to adopt legislation that would force digital companies to pay for news content. something that would create a global precedent, and according to Facebook and Google, wreck the way the internet works. And in a different article that I don't think I got pulled up here, what's great is Mark Zuckerberg's really mad at Apple because they think they're going to lose like $85 billion a year in ad revenue when users know that they're being tracked, or when users opt out of being tracked. So, pretty great. I hope Facebook crashes and burns. Zuckerberg's going to be a billionaire until he dies, though. So, no respite there. Now, this story is one I'm glad that we've got time to talk about because I've got strong feelings about it. I'm just going to read the story, though. This is from Neiman Lab. I read these guys. They put out some pretty interesting stories. This one is The Dark Side of Translation. The Epoch Times branches out. The Epoch Times is a conspiracy theory pushing pro-Trump news site with shadowy origins and ownership, and the culmination of all of that Facebook has encouraged. It's already published in 22 languages, including Persian, Hebrew, and Vietnamese, but those editions are published under the Epoch Times banner. Now, the organization is expanding its disinformation services with Tierra Pura, a separate Argentina-based website that spreads conspiracy theories and false information about COVID-19, QAnon, and U.S. election fraud, and publishes in both Spanish and Portuguese. TerraPura.org doesn't reveal its link to Epoch Times, saying only that it's run by a group of concerned citizens. But a new investigation by the nonprofit EU Disinfo Lab reveals the site's connection. Tierra Pura is regularly disseminating content in Spanish and Portuguese languages from media outlets connected to Epoch Media Group, as well as other institutions, and outlets linked to the Falun Gong ecosystem and other alternative media with dubious credibility. So, just something to be on the lookout for. Epoch Times used to run a lot of ads on Google and on YouTube. And for a while it was like, oh no, what's going on? But yeah, they're just a... Anyway, they're bad news. So anyway, if you see the brand, I probably would avoid it. They are highly dubious. And not in the dubious goals committee kind of way, I should point out. All right, I guess I should mention here, let's do an ad real quick. You're listening to Anon Radio, which is powered by SDF. Not that confusing, right? So big thanks to SDF for helping us out. If you go to anonradio.net, you can see the schedule of all the shows that are going to be happening, who's on, when they're on, how long the shows are, all of that kind of stuff. You can also access the archives there and hear past shows. You can listen to years worth of Dubious Goals Committee if you want, or just tune in at 1930 UTC, Monday through Monday, any day of the week, and you can catch the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. He is the chairman of that committee. All right, so we've got about 5 minutes, so I'm going to give you two more stories. First, a short one. Police in New York City have arrested a man after a string of stabbings on the city's subway that left 2 people dead and 2 injured. Rigoberto Lopez is charged with 2 murders and 2 attempted murders at stations in Manhattan and Queens. City police posted a photo of a knife. All of the victims are said to be homeless people. U.S. media report the suspect, age 21, and himself homeless, was arrested wearing blood-soaked clothes. The 4 attacks on the A train began on Friday morning. In the first assault, a 67-year-old man was stabbed. In the evening, a man believed to be in his 50s was found dead with a knife wound at Queens Far Rockaway Mott Avenue station. Shortly after, a 44-year-old woman was found at the 207th Street station. And in the early hours of Saturday, a 43-year-old man was discovered wounded on the train at the same station. So, the victims had nothing and didn't initiate anything. I'm not going to get into the motive, but what I can tell you is they were all unprovoked attacks. New York Police Department Senior Officer Brian McGee was quoted as saying by the New York Post. So, yeah, pretty scary. Sad news. The knife is definitely, it's one of those, if you saw Crocodile Dundee, where he's like, that's not a knife, this is a knife. That it's one of those kind of Crocodile Dundee knives. So, definitely able to take people out. Ugh, it's awful. All right. So the last story before we get into the committee meeting is from ProPublica, which is a fun article I don't normally get to read because they're so long and they're usually in depth, but we'll try our best here. The title is, I Don't Trust the People Above Me. Riot Squad cops open up about the disastrous response to Capitol insurrection. The Riot Squad, defending the embattled entrance to the west side of the U.S. Capitol, was surrounded by violence. Rioters had clambered up the scaffolding by the stage erected for inauguration of President Joe Biden. They hurled everything they could get their hands on at the cops. Rebar, plywood, power tools, even cans of food they had frozen for extra damage. In front of the cops, a mob was mounting a frontal assault. Its members hit officers with fists and baseball bats. They grabbed at weapons slung from officers' waists. They unleashed a barrage of M80 firecrackers, soaked in never-ending streams of bright orange bear spray. The officers choked on plumes of acrid smoke that singed their nostrils and obscured their vision. One officer in the middle of the scrum, a combat veteran, thought the riots were so vicious, so relentless, that they seemed to be fueled by methamphetamine. To his left, he watched a chunk of steel strike a fellow officer above the eye. The combat experience, a combat veteran, was hit with bear spray 8 times. His experience overseas was nothing like this, he said, nothing at all. And as we all know, all cops are bastards, so pity is low for these guys. But in response to questions for the story, the Capitol Police sent a one-sentence email. There is a multi-jurisdictional investigation underway. In order to protect that process, we are unable to provide any comment at this time. The interviews also revealed officers' concern about disparities in the way the force prepared for Black Lives Matter demonstrators versus the pro-Trump protests on January 6th. Officers said the Capitol Police Force usually plans intensively for protests, even if they are deemed unlikely to grow violent. Officers said they spent weeks working 12 or 16-hour days, poised to fight off a riot after George Floyd was killed by Minneapolis police, even though intelligence suggested there was not much danger from protesters. We had intel that nothing was going to happen, literally nothing, said one former officer with direct knowledge of planning for the Black Lives Matter demonstrations. The response was, we don't trust the intel. By contrast, for much of the force, January 6th began like any other day. And the story goes on, but we're running out of time, so I just encourage you, ProPublica puts out great long-form articles and news stories, so if you'd like to read more about first-hand accounts of what was going on during the riots, protests, please check it out. It'll be interesting to you. And really, that's kind of all we got today. So I want to thank you for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then. Oh, shucks. We still got a couple of seconds to go. Do 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 do.